This is the KMOX Home Improvement Show.
Presented by Suburban Leisure Center. The place with the big red chair.
Now, Scott Mosby on the voice of St. Louis KMOX.
All right, lunchtime, bean time, middle of the day, middle of the dial, and we are indeed, I'd like to say middle of the thermometer, but we're not. It's chilly, indeed. Well, we have phone lines open for you, and this is an opportunity, your opportunity, to call, ask a question, get the best advice you can that I can give you anyway, and I promise you that if I don't know the answer, I can certainly send you off to somebody, you know, that will, or some direction. Generally, I can describe on things that I don't really know the answer to. I know the issues and I know the physics behind it. How you exactly solve that sometimes involves a few phone calls to people that I know that, you know, in building science, really, University of Minnesota has a very deep staff of building science. They have also gone into the industry, so we've got some pretty smart building technologists that consult and work with our industry. Interesting enough, many of those are expert witnesses for legal cases on, you know, projects that crash and burn where, you know, the products weren't quite assembled according to how they needed to be. And anyway, that's how I spend my time, is figuring those things out, finding what the answers are. So I'm able to be, for you, you know, in touching actual consumers every Saturday. You guys are getting some pretty front-end industry knowledge because of what I love to do. And so sometimes your information might be on the hood ornament of the car as opposed to up in the driver's seat or maybe in the trunk or the boot, as the English call it. So anyway, 314-436-7900 puts us together. I promise to serve you my very best. And frankly, I've got a company full of people that love this stuff too. They're very good at what they do, or else they wouldn't be working at Mosby Building Arts. That's my day job, if you will. And most of my time now is spent in looking for trouble and learning how to overcome issues, that many of which we haven't even seen the problems yet. So working with manufacturers, a lot of these building technologists, some of this has to do with training people in our company to take on leadership roles, which is a whole different skill set. Having the trade skills and knowing how to, you know, keep the water out and assemble and cut a really nice miter and use a biscuit joiner, all those things. If it's not quite done in full concert with the products and the issues, then you can wind up in a little bit of trouble. Perfect example was our number two caller today, Bruce, who was right there. I mean, he knew the building science. He knew exactly what he was trying to do, and he was so close. But the theory, and this is how our whole industry got into trouble, we thought that we could keep the moisture out. Well, what we've learned is in St. Louis, you know, the moisture hangs in the air. So even the air you and I are breathing right now, that stuff's wet. You know, even though it's dry for the season compared to the summer, you know, there is a good opportunity for that water vapor to turn into water. Well, so instead of stopping the water from coming through and holding it from the inside, sometimes it's better off to make that wall assembly or those building material choices permeable. You know, when I started in the industry back when I was 20 years old, the concept was a vapor barrier was, you know, 2 mil, 1.5 mil plastic nailed over the insulation on the inside of the studs. So we were at that time, and the whole code officials, everything was all on board with that. We're going to stop that moisture barrier, that water vapor, from escaping the house. Well, we learned after a while that the air in St. Louis, just like down in Florida, is just so wet that you can't keep the moisture, the humidity, from getting into those wall cavities, into the 2x4s, inside the concrete blocks, inside the yada yada, on and on and on. So we tried to get waterproof exteriors, you know, waterproof, you know, that's where the EIFS, exterior insulated finish systems, EIFS, and that the concept on that was add latex to our plaster and we can make our plaster virtually waterproof. Well, that just trapped the water inside the wall, and then we have drainage planes and, you know, corrugated house wrap that manages. Anyway, I'm geeking out on you here. My apologies. 314-436-7900. Bring your call on. Let's get going and let's get it going here. Good. Beware, we do have a possibility, probability, with as warm as it is on Wednesday, Tuesday night, according to the KMOX weather room, we could have some substantial snow, and it might start out as rain because it, you know, I look at that forecast, and it's, you know, right around the low 30s. So it can start as liquid, and it can turn out to be snow, which, as you know, is not good. Now, in St. Louis, we drive around in Illinois. If you can hear my voice, the Department of Transportation, IDOT, MoDOT, Illinois Department of Transportation, Missouri Department, they use de-icers on the highways, the roads, whether it's small municipality or county or state. Your car brings all that stuff home onto your concrete garage floor or your driveway. And it drips off your car and deposits there, and you can have issues with, you know, calcium issues that products that, you know, tear your concrete apart. So it is important that when you get warmer days, certainly in the springtime when we're past all this, if we don't get good rainstorms, and that's a good thing about St. Louis, we get enough rain that we generally wash that stuff off from the roads as well as our driveways. But as you get inside, unless you tore the roof off your garage or your carport, generally that concrete does not get rinsed, washed off by you or me or by the rainstorm. So just be aware. Give your garage floor a bath pretty much every spring or early summer just to rinse that stuff out onto your driveway and spray it off onto the grass so it doesn't deposit there on either the garage floor, your driveway, and be aware that it can have adverse effects because when we get down to the teens, like 15 degrees, there isn't a whole lot of ice melt that works really, really good. Scott Mosby, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900, and we've got one more hour and a few minutes after that before we get up to the following show after the KMOX Home Improvement Show. So bring it on, bring it in, vote early, vote often. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900, and I'll summarize hour one and some of that concept, some phone calls, and discussions that I had in hour one. I'm going to take a short pause for now. We'll be right back for more right here on University of KMOX. Oh, yeah, Scott Mosby here, Home Improvement, KMOX, 50,000 watts at your service. Everything about KMOX today on the At Your Help service lines all day long. We're just trying to help you make things just a little bit better. So we can talk about that and more right here. Give me a call, 314-436-7900. We'll talk about it on the phone lines. I'll do my very best to help you. Next up, let's talk to my friend Tim. Hey, Tim, good afternoon. Welcome to KMOX. How can I help today?
Well, the question I have is, I've heard you talk before about the Rid-X, mixing it with water and pouring it down the drains. Yeah. What is the ratio? How do you mix that up to do that?
Oh, about a tablespoon to about 16 ounces of water. Generally, when I have, you know, a glass of juice or a glass of milk or something in the day, and I've got a glass, and I'm thinking, well, you know, I haven't done this for a while. I'll go fill it up with warm water, and I'll pull out the Rid-X, and I'll, you know, either just a tablespoon in 16 ounce, mix it up in warm water, and I'll go dump it down either the sink in the powder room or the kitchen or the toilet or, you know, sometimes the shower drain itself. So, yeah, a tablespoon for about 16 ounces, roughly.
Okay, tablespoon for about 16 ounces. Then how often do you do that?
Honestly, about any time I remember it, which is generally 1 to 2 months. Because it doesn't really open drains. All it does is digest the scum that's stuck to the side of your sewer pipes. And a lot of that is like paraffin wax that's in bar soap, oils that come off from bathing, oils from the kitchen, from cooking and such. So all it is a preventive maintenance way to break down the stuff on the side of the wall, keep it from gathering more and more and more, which will eventually become a blockage.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that, and have a nice rest of the day.
Thanks, Tim. Typically when I do it, if you can go to all your, like your shower drain, sometimes I'll even put them in floor drains down in the basement, because sometimes those can get smelly if I don't dump some water down it. And if that's the case, you know, I mean, I'm spending $3-4 on preventive maintenance, which, you know, I haven't had a sewer blockage in my house for, gosh, since I've been on KMWX, which is 25 years now. So something must be working.
Now, when you mix it up, does it smell?
No, it doesn't. And it looks more like a suspension, so it doesn't go into solution. I use a clear glass when I'm drinking, so you know, I dump the stuff in, and I just take a tablespoon and mix it around. The reality is this stuff isn't really made for what I'm recommending to you, but it doesn't hurt anything, and it's the same bacteria that Metropolitan Sewer District, MSD, treats the sewage. You know, it's just an enzyme that makes the bacteria happy, and then the bacteria eats more gunk and gook, which, you know, if that's working inside my sewer pipes, that's a good deal for me. Once it leaves and goes out to the sewer, MSD has all kinds of chemists that know how to do all that stuff. I'm just trying to keep the sludge from sticking to my pipes.
Would you do that, like, say, maybe before you go to bed at night, or does it make any difference?
No, that's exactly when I like to do it, because really that stuff sits. And, you know, you flush the toilet or you run the sink for, you know, maybe 15 seconds. I don't want to rush this, dump this stuff all the way down, because it'll clean out the pee traps, too. You know, so I'm just trying to get the bacteria that's living in those pipes to digest more in my, you know, clean up the stuff. So, yeah, going before I go to bed is the perfect time to put it in.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you very much, and I really enjoy your show.
Thank you. Thanks for the call, Tim. Good clarification, by the way. Appreciate it.
Okay. Goodbye.
Bye now. And indeed, it was a funny thing. You know, I've been on this show for quite a while, and I come up with some pretty wild ideas, one being Ridex. And what Ridex really is made for, and there are many other products like this if you go to a hardware store, a home center, and when a septic tank gets pumped out, when the honey dippers, as we call them, trunk comes out with a big, big tank on it, and all of the anaerobic waste, the sludge in the bottom of the tank that won't digest anymore, that's the stuff that you get the septic tank pumped for, because the septic tank treats stuff, but it will fall out of that water to the bottom of the tank, and basically you have a 1,000-gallon, say, septic tank. The bottom of that may be all filled up with anaerobic sludge, which doesn't do you any good. It doesn't digest anything. There's no oxygen in there, because it's the oxygen that everything likes to break down with, just like whether it's rust or corrosion on steel or paint or concrete. Oxygen is one of those parts that helps break stuff down. So you pump that out. Well, in that sludge is still the bacteria. So when a septic tank gets pumped, and, you know, we're in the city, so you may not know that too much, but those of you in the outlying areas, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Whether you have an aerator, which is a pump that blows oxygen or air into that stuff, the point being is they want to leave just a little bit in the bottom of that tank so that you leave the bacteria there, and the bacteria is what is necessary for that oxygen. The oxygen's feeding the bacteria. Ridex is just an enzyme that feeds the bacteria as well. So now that stuff gets really healthy, and you're really breaking down all the waste. So, you know, you bar soap, paraffin wax, all that still gets broken down. Anyway, I'm just giving you a long answer of why Ridex works. So anyway, I'm familiar with Ridex. I'm familiar. We put in a lot of septic tanks in outlying areas, building custom homes and remodeling and, you know, adding on to homes. We have to augment that system as well. It occurred to me, you know, gosh, if this stuff is just an enzyme, and it just makes the bacteria happy, and it doesn't really hurt. I mean, this stuff is as environmentally friendly as you can get. It's the same stuff that lives in our intestines right now. So we have that same bacteria that is digesting and breaking things down as well. So I started advising, well, put some of the Riddex down in your pipes. Well, this went on for a few years. Riddex finally contacted me and said, you know, the Riddex sales in St. Louis have gone unusually high, and we checked into this, and it's your big mouth that seems to be, you know, doing this Riddex thing. You need to know that we have no testing to back up what you're saying. You know, we have no basis for what you're saying. And, you know, the premise of my argument for doing that is, you know, it's $10 for a box or $12 for a bottle. It's so low cost and high benefit that it's just not a big deal. Anyway, Scott Mosby, Home Improvement. Bring him on here at 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900, and we'll talk about whatever's next on you. Likewise, as you use your hot and cold faucet, and this is typical for the winter, oftentimes, if you use things a lot, and for those of you that get up in the morning and your body's sore and aches and things like that, lack of use makes things not so easy to use, if you will. So, you know, in medical terms, your body atrophies or it loses range of motion, elasticity, stuff like that. So too with the faucet on your hot and cold lavatory sink. So as you stop using those, perhaps even through the summer, or you take a long vacation, or perhaps you're a snowbird, you go away for half a year or whatever your method is, sometimes those old faucets, you come home, they don't turn so well. And they can freeze up because we have the mineral deposits in our water here in the St. Louis area. So anyway, you know, it is what it is. Phone lines here, 314-436-7900, 436-7900, 800-925-1120. My name is Scott Mosby. I am at your service, and we are most definitely here on KMOX. So bring it in, bring it often, see what's happening. We'll talk about it right here. Again, as you get into those things, water softeners, those of you that have water softeners, or whole house water filters, be aware that draining your hot water tank might be a good time to do that as well, because during the winter time, you use a lot of hot water, and it blows, and it'll move the sludge around on the bottom of your hot water heater. But if you open up the drain in the bottom, you need to shut off your electric source, turn off the gas to your water heater, so that you're not, you know, going to overheat an empty tank. The point being is you leave the water on and you hook up a garden hose to the bottom. There's usually a drain on the bottom. You unscrew that thing, open it up, drain it into a floor drain or something like that. If you dump it into a 5-gallon bucket and let the 5-gallon bucket overflow, you'll be surprised how much sand, how much grit, how much mineral deposit winds up in the bottom of that bucket, because that's just a normal byproduct of what we get from our water supply source. So drain those water heaters, you know, when you're stuck inside for cold days or snowy days or whatever, that's a good time to do it. If you can drain it right into that floor drain, it'll work out fine. 314-436-7900, Scott Mosby right here at your service. One other thing that gets into it, as we get into the winter and the temperatures drop, you are experiencing perhaps the garage door coming down on your garage, and you have an overhead garage door electric opener operator, and that door will safety reverse. It'll come all the way down to the floor, turn around, go right back up. Sometimes, and we haven't really hit the deep freeze yet, but we're heading there, sometimes the concrete raises up on the soil that freezes underneath that. So if you're having experiences with your garage door being less reliable, where it's reversing, coming back up and down, you may need to adjust that, and it may come all the way back down to where your concrete slab goes down in the spring. Scott Mosby, Home Improvement, 314-436-7900. No more the toll-free 800-925-1120. It's gone by the wayside. Just 314-436-7900. My name is Scott Mosby. This is KMOX, and I shall return after this.
This is the KMOX Home Improvement Show.
Presented by Suburban Leisure Center. The place with the big red chair.
Now, Scott Mosby on the Voice of St. Louis KMOX.
All right, back together. Home Improvement, Scott Mosby, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. As we get into what I call the deeper part of winter, we're heading toward the winter solstice here. Shortest day of the year, January 21st. Longest day, June 21st. So we are running out of daylight. What that means is we have less sunshine. Sunshine creates heat, keeps a lot of things from freezing. Let's talk with Susie and see what's happening here. Hey, Susie, good afternoon. Welcome to KMOX. How can I help?
Oh, I have my gutters underneath the downspouts underneath the ground, mm-hmm. and three of them come out in the lawn, and they're okay. But the fourth one is between some stepping stones, and it sticks about 6 inches up, and it recently froze, and there was a big chunk of ice in there, and nothing could come out. So I just boiled some water and took it out and melted it. But I wondered why that happens and if I should try to cut the pipe off or how you could prevent that, and if I hadn't caught it, would it have melted on its own in the pipe or no?
Yes, eventually it would have. The question is whether it would have caused any damage by backing up.
That's what I thought.
Yeah,
you know.
You did the right thing by clearing that blockage. The reason it's happening, Susie, is the air temperature might be... 28 degrees, 26 degrees below freezing. So it'll freeze anything that, you know, comes out. But underground, 4 inches down, 6 inches down, the ground temperature is probably, you know, 42 degrees, 44 degrees. Still, I mean, it's cold, but it's not below freezing because the soil is a good isolator. So it does insulate a little bit, but it isolates, which is why we used to have sod huts and sod houses out on the middle of the prairie, because it slowed down the dramatic penetration of cold at night and the dramatic heat in the day. So underground stays more warm than the air temperature will. So once you get you know, the sun out, maybe it's noon or 2 o'clock on the next day, the sun will melt that. But, you know, if you've got trees or shade or it's in, you know, it just doesn't get much sunlight, which, you know, we can this time of year, it might not melt for days or weeks. So that where your pipe comes up and daylight's up above, it's just in a colder area. It's susceptible to the colder air temperature, which is usually much colder than the ground temperature.
Cut the pipe off, it wouldn't help. I would have to, and there's no way you can put an insulation around the pipe because it'd freeze underneath anyway, right?
Yes, yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah. So I just have to keep checking on it and using the water, I guess, because this is the first year. I've lived here 40 years, and this is the first year it's ever happened.
Yeah. Well, if that pipe were extended or deeper to the place where it would daylight and drain itself without having to come straight up, then you're okay. But not all houses have enough fall in their lot where you can do that. You know, the law doesn't allow us to run my pipe into my neighbor's house, you know, in their yard because they have the fall. Well, tough. That's my problem. So I understand exactly.
The other three are flush with the ground. You know what I mean? But this one... Yeah. You know, sticks up. So anyway, okay, I'll just boil water.
it's a pretty good solution. I like what you're doing.
Okay, thank you so much for your help, and I appreciate your show, and I appreciate you.
Oh, thanks, Susie. Right back at you. Happy New Year to you, too.
Happy New Year to you. Bye-bye.
Bye now. And that's, you know, for Susie's thing, and this is a plumbing line. I'll get into building codes. So here in the Midwest, St. Louis, this area, the frost line, the depth to which we put in structural concrete, for example, whether we're putting in a deck post just for a wooden deck or a foundation that has a footing where the foundation goes, the bottom of that has to be 30 inches below the finished grade, finished soil, whatever it is, so that that soil will never freeze underneath that 30-inch deep something. So that's the concept, is if you get it deep enough, your footing, your pier, the bottom of the post, your downspout drain, your pipe that drains your downspouts, if it's deep enough, it will never freeze because, you know, it's down in the warm ground. Now, there's a thing called thermal swing. Thermal swing. And we're into it right now. So the summertime heats up all the soil. All this grand sun is just cooking up our soil. All the dirt gets to be really nice and warm during the summer. Warmer, warmer, warmer as we go from June, July, August, September. And then the temperature starts to drop down and the days get shorter. So we're heading winter solstice. So we get less sun cooking up our soil, warming up our soil. So it takes all winter for that warm soil to cool off. And so where Susie's downspouts, you know, we're now into January, we've had enough cold temperatures, enough cold nights, enough hours and days below freezing that now that soil is cooling off and the frost line may be 4 inches deep, 6 inches deep. And, you know, when we're putting in downspout drains and Mosby Building Arts, we put in downspout pipes and things like this for the downspouts. You know, so it doesn't erode the yard or, you know, dump at the bottom of the foundation and make a leaky foundation. So that's all part of our process. But you get out there this time of year, and the soil may be frozen. It may have a 2-inch thick or 2-inch, 3-inch deep frost on it. And it's like ice. So you have effectively a 2-inch thick ice cap over the soil. So you can't just dig a trench and start going. If you break the top 2 inches, now you're down in regular soil. You can keep digging, but you have to break that frost cap. In concrete pouring, foundations, things like that, there are concrete blankets and soil blankets where we may lay over the top of the soil in an effort that to keep them from freezing. Normally that's done around in December. Generally in January, the nights get cold enough. It's not, you know, viable for all that anymore. The point being that the thermal swing, the time it takes, the months it takes for the summer soil to cold off, cool off all the way through the winter. And then lo and behold, about April or May, the sun starts coming out, sticking around a little longer, radiates the temperatures higher. And then that soil starts to warm up and we no longer have frost caps or frost issues or, you know, raising concrete slabs underneath the garage door on our garage, causing that door to flip back around. If you have a concrete back stoop or front porch, stoop being kind of a German word for back porch, but the concrete sits up underneath your door, your entry door, front and back, and your threshold for that door sits on top of that concrete. So sometimes those slabs will raise up and pinch your entry doors and exit doors, and it's a big deal. We're not really having it this year because it's not so deeply cold. We haven't had any drop deep, you know, we haven't had any 6 degrees, zeros, negative six. You know, we've had a few bouncers where we get down there for a day or so. That's when that concrete really starts moving on you. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. I promised you I would summarize our first hour of questions. Pretty good questions. First two were right off the bat, really good ones. John was a new hardwood floor owner, bought a house built in the 50s, and he had hardwood floors, and he wanted to know what he had to do to take care of it, to maintain it. How do you clean and wash hardwood floors? Well, hardwood floors are pretty bomb-proof. Unless you cut them or scuff them or move a piece of metal furniture across it and just rip the finish and the wood apart, generally, hardwood floors need only clear water, clear warm water usually. Just mop it down. And this time of year, when we're doing so much heating, folks, that putting a little bit of hardwood warm water on your hardwood floors, it actually will hydrate. It'll raise the humidity in your house, which is a good thing. It will swell your wood floors just a little bit, takes out just a few squeaks every now and again. So that's another one. And if you have a lot of dust in the house, for example, when we do drywall at Mosby Building Arts and we do a remodeling project, there's hardwood floors, we cover them all up so that the grit doesn't hurt the finish. But then when you're all done, there's still dust on that floor. Adding a little bit of just household vinegar, red or white vinegar, doesn't matter, that will actually cut the lime in the dust, and you still have to mop the floor several times to get the dust off of it. But the point being that grit, that dust, the vinegar is all you need, either clear water or vinegar. Bruce called in. He was doing some drywall finishing in his basement, and he didn't have any room to put 2x4s or wall framing, so he was asking how to line a... typically underneath a fireplace, a 6-foot wide and a 2-foot deep indentation. And he wanted a piece of furniture to fit in there, and he didn't have room for framing, studs and depth and all that stuff, which is kind of a common issue. And brings up another thing, that begin with the end in mind before you finish that space. Kudos to Bruce. He knew exactly what he was trying to do, which then defined whether he framed up that wall, put insulation in the wall. He realized that I want this bookshelf to go in there, and it's going to take up all but just a couple inches. I can't frame this thing out. So we talked about how to put dry lock waterproof paint right on the concrete, no plastic over it, and use regular drywall, not moisture-resistant drywall, because we want the moisture, any moisture that would come through that foundation would migrate its way inside the basement and dry out itself into the basement. So those were the first two calls. And next up, let's go back to the phone lines here and talk to my buddy, John. Hey, John, Scott Mosby here. How can I help you this afternoon?
Hi, Scott. I'm taking care of an elderly person with incontinence problems, and she dribbles on the hardwood floor. And a lot of times before I get a chance to wipe it up, you can see the wood is some of it up. So I know the surface covering on it, the varnish, is really old. It was resurfaced years and years and years ago. And and we have problems in the bathroom, too. It has old in her house. There's old asbestos tiles. Mm-hmm. And the urine is seeping in between those tiles. And I know the subfloor needs replaced, but I can't really do that right now with her here because I'm afraid she would walk in there and fall in the crawl space.
Yes.
So do you have any ideas on what I could cover that hardwood floor up with to protect it? Should I just put some vinyl linoleum over it? And would that be good to do in the bathroom too? And then if I do that in the bathroom, should I caulk around the edges with some silicone caulk to really make that waterproof?
One of the strategies is specifically to the asbestos. You can paint over the asbestos, which is encapsulating, and exactly when you've got a floor like that, you're on the right page here, John, that putting another membrane over it and isolating, you and the lady you're caring for, both of you are now isolated from that asbestos, and I most definitely would caulk it. You might need only to glue the perimeter, but going over an existing asbestos floor, especially in the situation you are with elder care, it's a really good strategy, and caulk it around the perimeter. You bet. I like that.
Okay.
A lot.
I'm kind of wanting to save what's left of the subfloor too, so that we don't fall through a rotten subfloor. Because I know that needs replaced. And then what about the hardwood floor? Could I lay some linoleum over that too? Is that going to damage the hardwood floor in whatever time this is going on?
Yeah, I would actually I'd go ahead and just let the hardwood floor do what it's doing, because if you put a membrane over it and it does happen to get wet somehow, either seeping through, because oftentimes you just can't see the liquid, it'll sit there for a while. And if it does seep through something, now you're holding that moisture against the hardwood floor. You'll do more damage than what you've got. This way, with pets and elder care, you know what you've got. You can get to it, clean it, disinfect it, and by doing that, you're limiting the damage to the hardwood itself behind your finish, even though the finish is gone. Yeah, you can throw a little bit of wax, like a paste wax on there. But, for elder care, I sure wouldn't do that, because now you're greasing the floor.
Yeah, that's true. And I know in the past when we wax them, they're very slick.
Oh, baby. Yeah.
And I knew you were the guy I needed to hear from, so that's why I called. I appreciate it. I love your show.
Well, kudos to you, John, for showing up and caring for the lady. So,
it's that time of life. So,
yeah, it is. It sometimes it's our turn, and sometimes it's our turn to care.
That's right. Thank you. Okay. Have a good day.
Thank you, sir. Bye now. Scott Mosby, Home Improvement, and oddly enough, and I really like John's questions. It's more enlightened than you might think. How do I protect my hardwood floor? Well, sometimes being able to care or clean and be aware that there is a puddle or a urine from pets or patients and occupants, all that, you know, just, and even in kitchen design, you know, in my world, you know, hardwood floors are a beautiful floor to have in a kitchen. They're for later in life when you don't have so many kids dropping gallons of milk on the hardwood floor. So those floors are typically some vinyl, ceramic tile, something that's a little more less affected by moisture. Hardwood is. So once the kids get to be, 10 years old, you know, most of your spills are, you're past your big spills where, you know, at least the child knows I spilled, now I need to clean it up. Before that age, sometimes I spilled, it's like I'm going out to play. And then you wind up with some swelling wood and problems and things like that. So I like what John's doing in caring for the wood, where he just gets on it as quickly as he can. Anyway, we'll take a short pause and come back for more right here on KMOX. Scott Mosby, at your service. All right, Home Improvement, Scott Mosby, KMOX, wrapping up hour two right here on KMOX. Stay tuned, more things coming up. Following this show, we have Billiken's Basketball, the Bills, go Bills. So it's a home game, St. Louis Billiken's Basketball versus LaSalle right here in St. Louis. 1:30 game time, and I'll be on till about a quarter after 1 o'clock here on KMOX. So stay tuned. We'll finish up this hour, do a few minutes next hour, and then off to Billiken's Basketball. And, you know, that's one of the better things about winter. I like Billiken Basketball. Just, I don't know, I didn't go to St. Louis University, but, you know, it's St. Louis. You know, what could be more St. Louis than St. Louis University? Anyway, as we get off into that, you know, that's kind of an interesting thing. For those of you that are stuck inside, that are doing winter things, and you're painting. Yeah, painting. Interesting. So, first things that typically happen, homeowners, we sit around, we look at our windows, we look at our furniture, carpet, and all. It's like, I think I need a... I want a new floor. Floor's kind of worn out. So we change the floor, carpet, whatever it is. Then we look around. It's like, yeah, it's kind of nice. I like that. Couch looks a little bit. I probably need to replace that couch. You know, and so, step two. And then sooner or later, you realize that, you got a new couch. And it's like, needs a new coat of paint, you know, so you paint. Interesting enough, 20 years ago, Pella Window Corporation, the window guys, Pella, made a national research project of what triggers or indicates when a consumer is ready to take on a large remodeling project. You know what the answer was? Paint. Paint. So we do the floor, or we do the furniture, and then we do the paint. And then we realize that's not getting me there. I need, you know, I'm thinking of something nicer than this. And then it's like, okay, what would I do? Well, you know, I'd sure like to have a nice picture window on the front of this. Oh, wow. Well, picture window. Oh, you know, it'd be nice to have a table there for, you know, card games. You know, we can sit right in front of that nice picture window, bay window, bow, whatever it is. I think we need another 6 or 8 feet on this room. So interestingly enough, my message to you is for those of you that are painting or considering painting, beware. That remodeling project is just around the corner. So I found it interesting, and the more I got into it, it was we really didn't believe it. And it was at an industry convention. But what indicates dissatisfaction of a homeowner that results in enough commitment to take on a larger remodeling project, you know, room addition, new windows, interior remake or whatever it is, was dissatisfaction measured by I'm going to paint. So for those of you that have a paintbrush, paint roller, whatever in your hand right now, you're on the path. Watch it. Anyway, I'll be back top of the hour here. News, weather, and sports. I'll be back after this on KMOX.
This is the KMOX Home Improvement Show.
Presented by Suburban Leisure Center. The place with the big red chair.
Now, Scott Mosby on the voice of St. Louis KMOX.
Okay, folks, Scott Mosby here. About 8 more minutes before we go up to the St. Louis Billikens pregame show for Billiken basketball versus LaSalle right here at home. So, go Bills. It is right here, KMOX, a little bit of college basketball. And we're sneaking into college season here, you know, at least basketball season. It's hoops. Here we go. 314-436-7900 puts us together on the phone lines. I invite you to call me now and bring any question, topic, favorite product, or issues around what you're into with this temperature, the weather we're facing. It's not necessarily an outdoor season, outdoor day. Maybe you're doing things around the house. And I challenge you a little bit. For those of you that have a drawer glide, you know, you pull the drawer out, been using the drawer for, you know, 20 years, getting a little tired, maybe the hardware needs to be replaced, then start writing down a list, write down the list of things you need to take care of, because generally most of those things start out and it's getting materials. And now with the pandemic, material supplies, all of the interruptions we faced over the last 3 years in our world and continue to face some of these things, getting that right piece of material is important. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit as we get going. Anyway, we've got about, five more minutes before we're together. Give me a call, 314-436-7900. And my name is Scott Mosby. We're into the third part of the hour of the KMOX Home Improvement Show. Just staying over a little bit till we get to the Bills pregame show here on KMOX. Stay with us. You can take us on your smartphone anytime, anywhere you want. You can check out KMOX.com or the Audacy app, AUDACY. Kind of a handy little thing to take with you. It's really any kind of news, talk, music, anything, any media platform that you would like that comes through the Odyssey source. And you know, you can listen to Boston, New York, radio shows out of Texas, California, anywhere you want. 314-436-7900 puts us together right now today. As we get into rain, we're going to face some rain here perhaps tomorrow and tonight. Putting out snow melt for Wednesday, that's a little premature, so not necessarily something you want to do. But think in terms of some of your planter pots and your pots. If you have planters, and they may have weep holes at the bottom, but once those weep holes block, oftentimes from frozen soil. My point is, cover the tops of those planter pots, because water coming in will get caught into that topsoil or planter soil. The issue is it stays wet, and if you get a deep freeze, that soil will freeze and expand and split your planter pots. So be aware, putting a lid, cap, something, you know, sometimes a little plastic cap over it. I used to use bungee cords and a piece of plastic or a trash bag if I didn't have plastic. That was one way to do it. Likewise, if you're trying to do that with your air conditioner, off-season things with your air conditioners, do not close them in. Do not fully enclose the sides. Those condensers outside, AC condensers, you know, the blowing unit outside that blows all the air, makes all the noise. If you put something on top of it to keep the leaves, the twigs, and the debris from coming in from the top, just like a hat, a roof, a cap, that's wise. So putting something on top of the unit works fine. Don't cover the sides. The sides need to stay open so that they dry themselves out, and you don't have deterioration of wiring, solenoids. A lot of those solenoids are electrical switches that are actuated to go on or off. So those solenoid valves are actually mechanical, even though they're magnetically and electronically triggered. The point being, you don't want those things wet all the time. And if you close it all in, you know, the rain comes, the snow comes, and, you know, then the air's wet. It gets stuck inside that particular unit if you close in the sides. If you just do the top, no mess, no foul, no error, no damage. And so you keep the debris from out. Likewise, when you get into your air conditioning season, I know I'm a little premature with that. The point being that having those outside units serviced, cleaned, and checked is a wise thing before going into the real deep heating or deep air conditioning season. 314-436-7900 puts us together. Stay tuned. In a few more minutes, we're going to Billiken basketball, St. Louis Bills versus LaSalle right here on KMOX. Game time 1:30, pregame about 1:15 right here on KMOX. Good time. I like the Billiken basketball. Good thing to do on a cold day. Anyway, stay tuned to KMOX. Odyssey app takes us with you, and we can talk about that and more. I will see you next week here on University of KMOX. And we've had some good questions, good calls. Had a RIDEX call. 1 tablespoon for 1 12- to 16-ounce glass of water. Dump it in your toilet, your sink, floor drain, shower drain, any place that you want to keep that drain clear and operating. It's not a clog opener, but it is a preventive maintenance that keeps the pipes clean and the gook from building up. So anyway, that's an important thing. As we get on into the day for KMOX, I wish you all just a wonderful day today, and go Billiken basketball here on KMOX.